Selecting the right keywords for your Amazon published book can be sometimes overwhelming. It feels almost like a high wire walk with your eyes completely blindfolded. But the good news is we're going to be able to take your blindfold off and you're going to realize that it's not as bad as you would think it is. And one of the areas I think that has a lot of misconceptions is the 7 backend keywords. We're going to be talking about that in today's podcast episode, so make sure you stay tuned.
Learn how to publish profitable books and build an unstoppable author brand with indie author and self-publishing coach, Dale L. Roberts. This is the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast.
What's happening here is Dale, and this is episode 85 here in the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. And I'm just tickled to death you took a little bit of time out your day to spend a little bit of time with me to talk about one of my favorite things in self-publishing. This episode is exclusively sponsored by Fiverr. And get all your self-publishing needs fulfilled through their book publishing services store. Between writing, editing, cover design, interior formatting, marketing, and more, Fiverr has everything you could possibly need for your self-publishing business. Simply visit dalelinks.com/Fiverr today to try them out for yourself. And if for some reason you need a recommendation, just reach out to me and I'll be able to tell you some of my preferred gigs. We've been discussing over the past couple of weeks the importance of keywords when it comes to your self-published book over on Amazon. Let's go ahead and summarize. What keywords do for your book? Well, keywords are essentially build the bridge between your product and your ideal reader. The problem is, many options are available to use for keywords, and we discussed some of those things in the previous weeks, but this week we're, of course, focused on the 7 back-end keywords, those little slots that are available inside your book's metadata, and they're 7 slots with up to 50 characters per slot. Now, that includes spaces and any kind of characters outside of, say, normal letters, so alphanumerical, if you will. What we know about the 7 keywords, right? Let me just go over some of the things that actually Amazon covers in their help support section. So a few of the do's and don'ts. Let's start it out with the do's. They say, combine keywords in the most logical order. Customers search for military science fiction, but probably not for fiction science military. I'm going to address that little issue here because there was a case study that was done to actually kind of debunk that little myth of having exact phrase matches versus having broad matches. And we'll discuss what those two things mean just, like I said, a little later. You can use up to 7 keywords or short phrases. Keep an eye on the character limit in the text field. Okay, we got that one addressed right at the very beginning of this podcast. Before publishing, search using keywords you're considering on Amazon. If you get irrelevant or unsatisfying results, make some changes. When searching, look at the suggestions that appear in the search field, search being in quotations here, of the dropdown, otherwise known as the auto-suggest. So when you go over to Amazon and you start typing in a keyword, it's going to auto-populate a dropdown of many different versions or deviations of whatever the keyword is that you're writing or you're typing, excuse me. And then the next thing they said, think like a reader. Imagine how you'd search if you were a customer. That right there is the most important thing when it comes to utilizing keywords. Think like a customer. Don't think like an algorithm. It's important, yes, that you try to, you know, address the elephant in the room. The algorithm's definitely going to be something we're going to want to appease, but in the same instance, we don't want to do it despite everything else. We want to get connected with our ideal reader, not get connected with a ton of customers. That's not the idea. We want to get connected with the ideal reader. All right, so moving further along in some of the suggestions they say, some of the don'ts. Now, let's highlight a few of these things as we go along here. Don't do this. Information covered elsewhere in your book's metadata, title, contributors, etc. So you don't want to double down anything inside, let's say, your title. You don't need to put that in your 7 keyword slots. You don't need to put your author name inside those 7 keyword slots. And anything you pretty much cover in, say your book description might not be necessary, although it does help out a little bit, in my opinion. Number two, subjective claims about quality. So you don't want to do things like best novel ever or best ebook of 2020. Those type of things are very subjective. Will they ban or suspend you or punish you for using that? No, they won't. But they're recommending that you don't utilize it. Time-sensitive statements as well. So anything that's new or on sale or available now, you don't want to put that in there. And to be honest with you, like it's just going to bring in an overwhelming amount of eyes on your stuff that really isn't your ideal reader. I mean, you're going to get some people that are looking for things on sale, let's say in fitness, and say you're a fitness book and they're looking for fitness equipment. Your book gets served up to this audience, they're going to be like, I don't want to read. I just want equipment. Get this stuff out of here. So you just wasted your keyword slot by drawing in the wrong type of audience. Information common to most items in the category, such as book or ebook or audiobook, but in this instance, wouldn't it be audiobook? This is one of those ones, again, you can get away with putting inside your keyword slots. They're not going to penalize you or punish you at this point. I've never heard of them closing down an account because you've used any of that. Spelling errors. They recommend don't do spelling errors. I got my position when it comes to that, but for the most part, I think it's probably a good idea that you do keep it spelling error free. Variants of spacing, punctuation, capitalization, and pluralization. So for instance, you could have something like 80 gigabytes or 80 gigabyte. So being it to where you have 80 GB and then 80 space GB. Or computer and computers. There's no need to repeat yourself on some of these. Even though the root keyword is computer, by putting an S on it, it's still the same root keyword. I used to dispense advice where I said, well, you got to use it because it is slightly different and blah, blah, blah. No, it really isn't. When you start to look at different, going from present tense to past tense, in your keywords, then you're dealing with something a little bit different. But for the most part, variants of spacing, punctuation, capitalization, pluralization, you want to avoid that. Anything misrepresentative. Now, this is the part you got to pay closest attention to, like the name of an author not associated with your book. This kind of information can create a confusing customer experience. KDP has a zero tolerance policy for metadata that's meant to advertise, promote, or mislead. All right, pay closest attention to that. So if you're putting out a book that, let's say, for instance, you have some knockoff CrossFit workouts or something like that. You can't use Reebok or CrossFit inside your keyword metadata because it is a trademark word. If you're doing horror stories, you can't put in Stephen King into your 7 keyword slots because you're trying to get Stephen King's readers. It just won't work that way. You can use it on Amazon ads. Totally fine on ads. 7 keyword slots, not okay. And quotation marks and search terms. Single words work better than phrases, and specific words work better than general ones. If you enter, quote unquote, complex, suspenseful whodunit, only people who type all those words will find your book. For better results, enter this complex, suspenseful whodunit without the actual quotations. Customers can search for any of these words and find your book. So let me explain this. The whole purpose of putting quotations around a specific keyword. You can use this anytime you're using Google or you can use it on Amazon. If you just want that exact phrase right there, you want to have that exact keyword pulled up and all the research results, putting a quotation on it is how it happens. Now, a lot of customers don't realize this is available to them. A lot of people browsing online are aware of the quotations. The issue you run into is by putting those quotations, you are committing 100% to that exact phrase, like no deviations of this whatsoever. Whereas if for some reason you have werebear shapeshifter romance novel, okay, let's say that's your full string of keywords, you don't put any quotations on it, it's going to give you any deviation of that. So it could be shapeshifter romance. It could be werebear novel. Those type of things is what the Amazon algorithm is going to do. It's going to take that broad match and it's going to pull specific combinations of words from that and serve it up to those specific customers. And we're going to go deeper dive on this in just a second. Last but not least, Amazon program names like Kindle Unlimited, KDP Select, Amazon, anything to do with Amazon, don't put it in there. And I think probably the exception to the rule is if you're actually writing a book about Amazon. And truth be told, I'm going to tell you this right now. I've got books based on Amazon, and I don't even use Amazon's keywords because it's not one of those things that I want to draw unnecessary attention to myself and get it to where they're like, hey, we told you you're not supposed to do that. So I'm able to actually publish those books, and I don't use the 7 keyword slots with Amazon or Kindle or anything else like that. The big one, I'm going to say this right now, is do not use the F word. You're probably sitting there thinking, of course I'm not going to put curse words. No, that's not what I mean. Free. Free is just one of those words that they do not want you to do. What it does is it brings back an overwhelming search result for the customers, and they don't want to overwhelm their customers. So having some of those things in there, unfortunately, does create that friction for their customer. So there's going to be some exceptions to the free. Let's say, for instance, you put out a gluten-free recipe book. You do a dairy-free recipe book, something like that. You got free in the title. It probably makes sense. But then again, remember, we also said you don't really need to double down on your title inside the 7 keyword slots. So there's that. What we can theorize. All right, so here's the thing. A lot of what I'm going to share with you is based on experience, a lot of research and such like that. Amazon has not specifically come out and endorsed something like this. And anybody who tells you, oh, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is it, it's I've been doing no content publishing for the last 2 years. Of course I know what I'm doing. No. People have theories. And they're able to kind of cite their own experiences. So I'm going to share some of the things that I have learned and I've taught other people, and they have learned in return. Let's start it out, first of all, is there is actually a case study that was done on Kindlepreneur.com by Dave Chesson. The article is called 7 Kindle Keywords Use All 50 Characters or Not. So, by the way, you can visit dalelinks.com/7KindleKeywords to see this full article and breakdown. I'm just going to kind of summarize some of it. It was a case study that was done with 120 books. Most of them were fiction, with a handful of them being in nonfiction. And what they did was they played around with those 7 keyword slots to see what would happen if they used those 7 keyword slots in different capacities. So the very first question they asked is, does all 50 characters index your title for more keywords? Meaning that if I were to put a single keyword phrase, let's just say, for instance, home improvements for the beginner. Let's say that home improvements for beginners. There we go. That's probably a good one. With home improvements for beginners, it's pretty good. But everybody could agree that that's not quite 50 characters, so it leaves a lot of room. So what we're going to do is try to find other keywords that actually have some overlap with home improvement for beginners. Maybe it's home improvement for beginners and seniors. Or maybe it's home improvement for beginners on a budget. You have some type of an overlap with this. You're going to try to get it as close as you possibly can and try to fit it into that specific character's limitation, being 50 characters. So what they discovered was there was a broad keyword match. So you remember how Amazon said early on, I shared how they said the order matters. But then with Dave Chesson's specific case study, come to find out, no, the order really didn't matter because ultimately the Amazon algorithm had those specific 3 or 4 keywords and still kind of mixed and matched and made different combos. It was kind of like word jumble, and it made the most sense of the specific keywords in a slot that it could. It's not to say, though, exact phrases won't work, but it's telling you the 50 characters for each one of those slots filled to the brim could potentially bring you more search queries. So that's ultimately what you want to be shooting for. So does filling all 50 characters index your title for more keywords? The answer was yes from them. Now, does Amazon rearrange words and index them for you or use exact phrases? Yes and yes. Okay, so it definitely would behoove you to still try to find an exact phrase that you want to use. Now, that's not to say that you should put quotations on them. Don't do that. still find a good keyword, the best descriptor of your specific publication, and put him into one of those 7 keyword slots. And don't get it to where you muddy up or water down that specific keyword by putting additional things in there. What you're doing is staking your claim to the Amazon algorithm and saying, this is my book and how it needs to be searched for. So you get a big gold banana sticker if you're able to get an exact phrase match. And you want to shoot for roughly about 1 to 3 exact phrase matches. If you do all 7 slots, that's fine, but I would recommend that you try to spread out just a little bit so you get more of an audience coming and discovering your book through multiple keyword variations. Does using the same keyword more than once hurt? No. Okay. We discussed already. We said title's already there. We don't want to put inside the keywords. That's fine. But what if we had some words that had the same root keyword? Can we build them out into those other 7 keyword slots? Absolutely. Yes, you can. Will they penalize you? No, not whatsoever. Let's just say you filled your one of your 7 keyword slots with home improvement for beginners. And then you notice there's just a treasure trove of deviations you can build off of that. You can use other slots, but I just might recommend that if you're filling the same keyword in all your 7 keyword slots, the same root keywords being tossed in there, the problem is you're not going to be reaching as much of an audience. You haven't really truly identified what your book is or is not about, how your audience is looking for it. So get good on how to describe your book in a way that attracts your audience. They do have other questions that they ask inside the article. So I just recommend, instead of me sitting here telling you spoiler, you know, I should have told you spoiler before we even started this. But instead of giving you some spoilers, go over, visit the article, dalelinks.com/7KindleKeywords, or you can just simply just Google up Kindlepreneur 7 Kindle keywords, and you can see the full case study and the breakdown of them. And again, they recommend that you do write about 1 to 3 exact phrases and about 4 to 6 spliced keywords. Hey, I'm going to give you just a little bit of a wrap up here, and especially when it comes to fiction and nonfiction titles and how you're going to want to select your keywords. But before we do, I want to give a big special thanks over to the sponsors here of the channel, Fiverr. Get any number of premium freelance services on my preferred platform, Fiverr, when you visit dalelinks.com/Fiverr. I really do love me some Fiverr. I'm excited, actually, tonight. I'm going to be ordering 10 covers for them for one book. I did it last week, and unfortunately didn't bring back the results that I wanted to go for. So I'm going to be going and trying out another 10 here tonight. So you will be seeing that in the coming month on my main YouTube channel. Here's my final tip. All right, so how do we get these specific keywords? Real simple here. I'm going to keep it brief. For fiction, this is exactly what KDP tells you. Think about the setting. What's the setting of your book? Character types. Character roles. Plot themes. And story tone. You don't know your fiction story or not very aware of what you're doing in there and some of the tropes that you're incorporating into your fiction. You need to take a step back, maybe even discuss it with your editor or any of your beta readers or ARC readers and say, hey, what's one way you kind of describe it? What are some of the things that stand out to you? And maybe they'll be able to help you out with keywords. For nonfiction, I'm telling you this right now. Being a nonfiction author, you are at a greater advantage than fiction authors when it comes to keywords. Because it's super simple. Readers have a problem. You have a solution. So figure out what are some of the pain points that your readers have as a nonfiction reader. Specific outcomes they're looking for. So let's say they want to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Maybe that's going to be one of your keywords. Lose 30 pounds in 30 days. I'm not saying that's a good keyword, by the way. Your type of reader or demographic. Okay, so how old are they? Who are they? What's their age bracket? What type of income do they bring in? Are they single? Are they married? Do they have kids? Think about all those specific qualifications it is for your ideal reader. And last but not least, synonyms. Any type of way to kind of say your type of book. So let's say I've got my 90-day home workout plan. Probably another way of calling it would be an exercise program for home, for at home. So think about different ways you can say it. Believe it or not, actually, I do a deeper dive of keywords in my most recent, one of my recent publications, Amazon Keywords for Books. You can get your hands on that if you go to dalelinks.com/keywordsbook, or you can get the entire Amazon Self-Publisher series when you go to dalelinks.com/ASP, meaning Amazon Self-Publisher. Well, folks, this is not the end of the road when it comes to talking about keywords. I'm actually going to be discussing it again this next week on the podcast. We're going to be talking about some good keyword tools and resources for you to consider to help you out, expedite your time. So that way you're not spending hours upon hours upon hours upon hours doing keyword research only to find out that none of it's any good. Having the good keywords resources is going to be something you're going to want. So we're going to stay tuned here. Next week, we'll be talking about on the podcast. Hey, subscribe or follow me on your preferred podcasting platform and leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or wherever else. And if you happen to be watching this on the YouTube channel, that's right. We've got an actual podcast YouTube channel, Self-Publishing Your Dale Podcast. You can get that over at dalelinks.com/YouTube podcast. Leave a comment right on down below and I will try my best to get back to you. It's always awesome to hear from every single one of you. In the meantime, folks, this has been Self-Publishing with Dale, and I will chat with you next week.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingwithdale.com for more information on how you can level up your publishing business. Also, get a rock-solid action plan for your next book launch when you sign up for our email newsletter at selfpublishingwithdale.com/checklist. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.